Morning service. That thing gets up there. All right. Great to have you here this morning on a Sunday morning. I drove past several churches this morning just riding about town, and the parking lots were empty. It's too bad. It's too bad. You know, when I was a boy, I was talking to Brother Camilleri. When I was a boy, every kid I knew in our elementary school went to church somewhere on Sunday. It's just what people did. Stores were closed. Restaurants were closed. It was the Lord's day. Even people didn't know the Lord went to some building designated to be the house of the Lord. Our country needs to get back to that. But glad you're here today. And if you don't have a Bible, just look on with somebody that has one. What I have to say won't count for much, but what God has to say in His Word will change your life for time and for eternity. Let's pray together. Father, help us this morning. Please bless Your Word to our hearts. Help me to make it clear, easy to understand, and get across this morning what You know that this assembled congregation most needs. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name, and amen. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter number 5 this morning. The world uses Bible terms almost every day. They do not know they're quoting the Bible when they use these terms. Almost every one of you have heard the phrase in some context or another, the writing is on the wall. That's from the Bible. It's from this chapter of the Bible. Scripture says in Daniel 5 and verse number 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And of course, those aren't gods. If it's gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, stone, it's not a god. It's an element or a plant or something that was made by God. It's not God. In the same hour came forth fingers of man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Oh, God, not in full, just his hand. God's hand showed up at a drinking party, and all of a sudden nobody's having fun anymore. Praise God. Now, I'll say two things about these introductory verses to the chapter. First of all, young men and old men alike, young ladies and old ladies alike, this man has committed a very, very foolish act in taking sacred vessels. They're already drinking wine. They have wine. They have glasses, chalices, cups, whatever they have to drink out of. But then he's going to step it up and say, go get those sacred holy vessels from the house of God and let's drink wine out of those vessels. The history of the world has proven, you shouldn't have to have anybody tell you this, but the history of the world has proven, you will do things after a few drinks you would not have done had you not taken those few drinks. You will be emboldened to a level of sin. You will be liberated to a level of depravity by that alcohol to do things and act in ways that you would never have done, never have acted without that alcohol. I'm telling you, leave it alone. Leave it alone. You say, well, I can handle the drink. It's not you handling the drink. It's when the drink starts handling you. And that this man, after a few drinks, committed some acts that he would not have committed had he not taken those drinks. Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, young lady, that the reason a man offers you alcohol is he wants to defile you. And he knows you wouldn't allow him to do things without the alcohol that you would do after you drank the alcohol. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. You don't need it. You don't need it. All right, second thing, the Lord, he allows a lot to go on. He really does. Nebuchadnezzar did some terrible things and God didn't step in. The kings of Egypt and Israel and Judah done some terrible things. God didn't step in. We've seen things in our nation happen and God didn't step in. But when they took things dedicated for the sole purpose of the worship of God in the house of God, and turn them into common, sinful, depraved practices. The Lord showed up. He wrote on the wall. He said, that's it. This is as far as I'm going to let this thing go. And I'm just going to say this morning. You agree with me, disagree with me. It doesn't matter to me. God doesn't expect anything out of Hollywood. God doesn't expect anything out of the National Education Association. God doesn't expect anything out of the Congress or the House of Representatives. But when you start turning buildings that were built with the money of God's people for the worship of a holy God, and you start turning them to nightclubs and dance halls and playhouses and political rallying organizations, and you start flying your rainbow flags and your communist banners out front of these buildings that generations ago were built for the honor and glory of the Lord, you better watch out. You better watch out. You want to be unholy? Go build your own building. You want to rock and roll? Go to a rock concert somewhere. You want to commit immorality? Go to a nightclub. Go to a bar. Don't turn a church building into a place of reprobation and depravity just so you can pretend that you're getting more people. Who cares if you get more people in? They get more people at a New York Yankees baseball game than any church gets. That doesn't mean it honors God. I'll tell you, God didn't show up when they were drinking, though he disapproves. God didn't show up when they were carousing, though he disapproves. You got wives and concubines drinking together. What a messed up society. God didn't show up. When he said, go get those holy vessels and let's drink out of them. The Lord said, I think I'll interrupt that. I think I'll step in there. And I believe that the problem in our nation is not the secular organizations. The problem in our nation is God doesn't have any churches left to counter the wickedness that's going on out there. The churches have all bought in, and they're trying to be as much like the world as the world is. Anyway, let's press on here. Verse number 7. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. Why are they still on the payroll? They were helpless during the AIDS crisis, and now you think they're going to get us through the COVID crisis? It's the same bunch. Anyway, king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck. Going to turn him into a rap star. Got the big gold chain and the bright red suit, and she'll be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing. You know why? They weren't wise men. They had a name, they had a title, they had a position, they had a career, but they didn't have the ability. Called in a wise man. The wise men said, we cannot make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were stoned. Now, the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. That's the third time we've hit that. I recommended our young people at home that next time you're in a jam and mom calls you on the carpet or you get dad face to face, when they start to question you, first thing you want to say is, O dad, live forever. just see how that works. O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There's a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king, Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams and hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. All right, here's our second point this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to have a reputation on your job that when somebody's afraid and somebody's in trouble and somebody's confused and somebody's scared, the people you work with can say, go talk to him. Go talk to him. Now, they might not have the right terminology. She doesn't. They may not be clear on what you believe and your relationship to the Lord. She wasn't. She attributes to Daniel wording that God wouldn't attribute to him and wording that we wouldn't attribute to him. You know what she said? He's the closest thing to God we've got in this kingdom. We don't have any real gods. We don't have any true gods. We don't have any smart people. We don't have any wise people. We don't have any people of understanding. But I'll tell you something. Your father had a guy. And whenever he was scared, that guy helped him out. And whenever he was broken, that guy lifted him up. And whenever he was confused, that guy came and gave him understanding. Go find Daniel. Listen, it might not be but once in 10 years a family living on your street needs some real, genuine spiritual help, and they know it. That's the day you want to be the one that they turn to. They're not going to call you every morning. They're not going to come to church with you every time the doors are open, but you want to be that person who prayed for their mother when she was sick, who helped their son when he was strung out on dope. And they didn't come to church and they didn't get saved. But all these years later, that queen says, I know a guy. I know a guy. He's got a spirit in him like God. He's got wisdom in him that came from God. He's smarter than all these paid hireling ministers and wise men you got around here. Go get Daniel. That's who God wants you to be on your job, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your marketplace, in your town. That's the testimony you want to have. People don't want the Lord today, but one day they will. People aren't afraid today, but one day they will be. People aren't troubled and confused today, but something's going to come up in their life. And when they do, you want to be that man, that woman. Praise the Lord. Now, second thing I want to say about these verses, and I hope you'll take this in the right way. I have no one in particular in mind. I say this in our church. I say this in every church I go in. But I come in, and over again, the pastors say, please preach something to the young people. Please go after the young people. And I get that. I understand that. Let me tell you something. Daniel is now 90 years old. He's been standing for God in Babylon for 70 years. He didn't turn in the towel. He didn't hand in the keys. He didn't give up on serving God. I wish I had the energy that I had when I started. I don't. I wish I had the mental ability I had when I started. I don't. But I don't want to quit serving God so I can catch a fish. I don't want to quit serving God so I can walk by a lake. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm telling you, you've got wisdom now you didn't have 30 years ago. You've got understanding now you didn't have 40 years ago. You've got experience now you didn't have 50 years ago. If you got to scale back, scale back. If you got to wind down, wind down. But don't quit. Don't quit serving God. Be an example to the young people. As long as you're breathing, as long as you're alive, keep going for God. Praise the Lord. There's a retirement age for jobs. There's a retirement age for ministry. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm talking about all. There is not a retirement age for being a useful servant of Jesus Christ. And I was in a church 2 years ago, and the church is whittling away to nothing. It's fading away to nothing. And I talked to men that have been all over the world on mission trips, and men that have knocked doors and street preached. A great church, great guys. I love them dearly. I do. And I said, guys, you got to get some people in this church. You got to win some souls to the Lord. You got to get some families in here. This thing is dying. And the head deacon of that church said, we've put in our time. It's time for somebody else to do it. Well, I would say it's time for somebody else to join us. It's not time for somebody else to do it. I'll never be as young as I was until the rapture, and then I don't know how young I'll be, and it won't matter. I could be 500 years old, and I'd be good to go. I understand, believe me, that how that passage in Proverbs about the drunkard begins to apply to people who don't drink. I wake up with wounds and don't know where I got them. I wake up hurting and don't know how I hurt myself. Right. Honestly, it's like, what did I do to my back? It was fine when I went to sleep. Now I can't get up. I get that. I understand. I'm reading my Bible, and I turn the page, and I read the next page, and I turn the page, and about six pages in, I realize I haven't read one single word. My eyes are going down the page, and my mind is off somewhere with the president. I don't know where I am or what I'm doing. But I don't want to stop serving God. I don't want to stop being useful to the Lord. And this man is 90 years old, and he's still the go-to guy in the kingdom. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. We sang it this morning, that song, Little as Much, But God Is In It. There's a whole verse there about old age. And you might not have as much to contribute today as you had to contribute back then, but you got enough. You got enough. Let's keep on going. Keep on going for Jesus. I could talk this morning so long about the senior citizens that was such a help to me when I was a young Christian. Such a help. I'd like to just do that here. I'd like to just tell you about all those older people. But I was just a fanatic. I was zealous. I was giving out tracts in a church that had a tract rack, and they didn't know why. They're just the tracts had been in there since they built the church, and same ones, and just I was just on fire for the Lord, and the pastor tried to get me to stop, and the deacons tried to get me to stop, and finally they asked this lady, dear lady, they knew that I loved her and respected her, and they asked her if she would talk to me. And so we're in a little drive-through, like you got right out there after church one Sunday night, and she came up to me and she said, James, the deacons asked me if I would talk to you. She said, is that okay? I said, I guess so. And she said, you probably know what this is about, don't you? I said, yes. She said, well, they're concerned that you're a little overboard and a little fanatical and a little too zealous, and they wanted me to talk to you about that. Is that okay? I said, yeah, I guess it's okay. She put her arms around me and pulled me right up next to her. She put her mouth right next to my ear, and she said, you just keep it up. You just keep it up. Praise the Lord. She wasn't a street preacher, but she kept one preaching on the street. Praise the Lord. All right, now look at in verse number 12. We're doing the best we can here with the time. Verse number 12, the Bible says, for as much excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpretation, dreams, showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel. Let me tell you what you need in your life. And this is why we have church on Sunday. This is why we have midweek services. This is why we have special meetings. This is why we put sermons on the internet for you to access. You need someone in your life that will be for you a dissolver of doubts. That's what you need. Your college professors are going to try and make you doubt everything in this Bible. The media is going to try and make you doubt everything in this Bible. People this morning are going to get up and go to some liberal church or conservative church, and the preacher's going to stand up and say, well, this word isn't translated right, and this verse shouldn't be there, and this really isn't the best rendering. I don't need anybody to help me doubt the Word of God. I don't need anybody to undermine my faith in the Word of God. You need a preacher in your life to stand up there and say, it's true, it's true, it's true. You can believe it. You can trust it. Dissolve those doubts. Praise God. I don't care how careful you are. You're going to get dirt on your shoes. You're going to get mud or grass clippings on your pants, and you're going to get soup on your tie. Just part of life. You know what everybody has in their home, in America at least? Spot remover, stain remover. Wash it. It gets it whiter than white, if you're still allowed to use that term in advertising. And it'll clean these clothes cleaner than they've ever been. Praise the Lord. I don't need to go to church and get more spots. I don't need to hang around with people that get me dirtier than I was when I started. I need somebody that's going to stand in front of me every Sunday morning, every midweek service, every special meeting, and say, God's true. The Bible's right. You can believe it. Stop doubting the Lord. Praise the Lord. Daniel's a dissolver of doubts. Man, wouldn't that be a great reputation to have? Verse number 13, then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel? Oh, I like that. I want to be that preacher. I want ours to be that church. Can I give you something? What's that? It's about Jesus. Oh, is it from a church? Yes. What church? Oh, that church. Yep, that one. That one. The only one you've heard about because it's the only one that cares about your soul. The only one being talked down in your town because it's the only one standing against the sin in your town. Yeah, that church. That church. We want to be that church. Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read the writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck. That'd look really good on a 90-year-old man. What in the world would Daniel want with a get-up like that? And shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Daniel said, I'm not doing this for money. I don't need an offering. You want to light a candle? Light it for free. You want somebody to pray for your grandmother? No charge. Daniel said, I'm not one of those religions that makes you pay for our services. Is that all right? I'll tell you what it says. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. That's totalitarian system. You don't want that in America. These knuckleheads that think they're getting educated at college and just getting brainwashed, they think they want a totalitarian system. You're crazy. You do not want a government with the power to kill you or let you live arbitrarily at the whim of the top man on the totem pole. You don't want that. That's Nebuchadnezzar. And whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Now, we didn't have time for Daniel chapter 4 this week. We taught it down to land a few weeks ago, but we can't do it here this week. This man suffered, in modern terms, severe, crippling mental illness for 7 years because he wouldn't humble himself before God. He thought, I'm the great ruler of the whole earth. And God said, excuse me? You know how you take one man, set him up, and take another man and put him down? I set you up and watch me take you down. God did that with Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel's reminding his son of that very thing. Verse 22, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. You know why people go to hell? They don't give God the glory. Why people lose their soul and end up in a lake of fire? They're proud. They're conceited. they're stuck on themselves. You know what Daniel said? You know these things. You know these things. You're just too proud to receive them. You might have been in this church 20 years. You might be a visitor. You know Christ died on a cross to pay for your sins. You know statues can't save you. You know there's no such thing as purgatory. You know there's a heaven. You know there's a hell. You know that God wouldn't send His Son to die on a cross if you could earn your way to heaven. You know that. Why aren't you saved? You won't humble yourself. Why are you still under the heading in God's book of condemned already? Because of your pride. That's what he told him. He said, you know these things. You know these things. And there you stand defiant. And the Lord sent that hand. And now he's all weak in the knees and shaken and scared and troubled. And that's a good thing. People ask me sometimes, boy, I guess that day you got saved is the best day of your life. It's tied for the best day in my life. The best day in my life was the day that I realized I was going to hell if I didn't get saved. Man, after that, salvation's a no-brainer. Honestly. And you just got a whole generation of people running around out there. They just think no matter what they do or how they live, they're so great and they're so wonderful, God's going to bow down to them when they get to heaven. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Verse 24. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. That's exactly how you pronounce that. I'll pronounce it differently next time I read it, but for right now, that's the way you say it. This is the interpretation thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. This man is a moron. Daniel said, you want to know what God just wrote on the wall? Your kingdom is finished. And the guy said, well, that's great. Make him the third ruler in my kingdom. You weren't listening. Your kingdom is finished. Now here's what religious people believe. I don't know why they believe it, but they believe it. I've had them tell me this in their homes. I've had them tell me this on the street corners. I just believe God's going to put my good works on one side and my bad works on the other side. And if my good works outweigh my bad works, I'll get into heaven. And then I say, okay, let's say it was that way. You think you're getting in? And they all say yes. And then you start telling them what the Bible calls bad works. You know what the Lord says of every single person living on the face of the earth? You do not want to be weighed in the balances because you'll be found wanting. And if you stand before God and we put your good on one side and your bad on the other, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're sunk. You're sunk. You know what you need? You need Jesus Christ to come and take away all your sin. And then in a moment, that thing will go just like that. Just like that. But this king, he says, your kingdom's done. You're finished. You're over. And he says, make that man the number three man in my kingdom. You know what his problem is? He doesn't believe the word of God. He doesn't believe what God just told him. Last verse, two verses of the chapter, verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now, for the sake of time, I'll tell you a story about from the lips of Jesus about a man who was very hardworking, very successful, and very wealthy owing to his Jewish privilege. And he had a farm, and his farm did well. And he brought in his crops, and he sold some, and he lived on the other and put the money in the bank. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. And one day he's walking around. He said, man, I don't have enough room for all my stuff. I'm going to go down the end of the road and build a storage facility because I can't put everything in my garage. I mean, I got it made. I'm doing great. And the Lord visited that man and said, thou fool, this night thy soul should be required of thee. And then who shall those things be? So almost everyone here this morning owns their own vehicle, or you rode in a vehicle somebody owns. You are more wealthy when it comes to transportation than Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar were when they ruled the world. You have a freezer, a refrigerator, a stove, a microwave, and you go out to eat. You got it better than Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar had when they ruled the world. You got indoor plumbing. Hallelujah. Air conditioning, we like that. Heating, I bet you like that. Praise the Lord. We're living like kings. No, we're living better than kings. Honestly. When I was a kid, things were so hard when I was a kid. You had to get up out of the chair and walk across the room to change the channel on the TV. You talk about hard times, man. It's hard times. Didn't take long. There were only three channels. Two of them didn't come in if the wind was blowing. Kid had to climb up on the roof and somebody down in the living room, turn it a little more. Hard times. Look, we are comfortable, we are clean, we are well-fed, we are housed, we've got transportation. And the Lord says to a nation like ours, but you're not listening. Your kingdom is going to come to an end. You're going to die. And I've weighed you in the balances and you're found wanting. You've got to get saved. You've got to get right with God. And the man to whom Daniel spoke, by the giving of that chain and by the granting of that promotion, he didn't say, I think you're a liar. He didn't say, I don't think God is true. What he said is, that might happen to me, but it won't happen tonight. And then it happened that night. It happened that night. And I'm not trying to scare you, but if you're lost, I want to scare you. You might not be alive tomorrow. It's a fact. It's just a fact. This man, he's the king of the world. But death's going to take him out. Before the sun comes up the next morning, he goes from a wild drinking party to dead. All it takes is crossing the center line, hitting an oncoming car. All it takes is running your truck into a telephone pole. All it takes is a stroke, a heart attack. That's it. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. I'm trying to tell you, God hasn't written on the wall. He's written it in a book. Back in that day, one group of people in one building got to see the handwriting on the wall. Today, anybody on the face of the earth can see the writing of God written with the finger of God. And he says, you're going to die. Get ready. You're going to die. Humble yourself. Trust me. Believe on me. And that's what he wants. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And we speak like this not because we're mean or cruel. We speak like this because we want to dissolve your doubts. Fact, you're going to die. There's no doubt about it. Fact, you're not good enough to stand before God. No doubt about it. Fact, God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for your sin, and he could save you today and wants to. Those are facts. What are you going to do with them? This man put them off for another day. Put them off for another time. Turns out he didn't have another day. Turns out he didn't have another time. If I'm talking to one person here today, it's not saved. One person here today, it's not right with God. Don't bet your soul on tomorrow.
Man. Good, James.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Heavenly Father.
Amen. Very good.